Blog Talk Radio.
Holloway Hill, and I will be your hostess for the next 30 minutes for another empowering episode of Living by Design. Now, I just want to give you a quick update on my new upcoming book, soon to be released, entitled Lies, Love, and Life. And yes, this book is about all of the individuals out there who are lying to themselves, and we know we have lots of those people. If you are one of those people who tells yourself constant lies that have turned into beliefs, such as, oh, it's going to be a miserable day, this always happens to me, my luck stinks, life sucks, all of these self-defeating, self-sabotaging type of comments that we allow to live in our conscious, which eventually gets stored into our subconscious, and it just totally destroys our life, and it just totally creates a barrier for success. So that's what the book is about, and it will be coming soon to be released in July. So stay tuned for more about that. This evening, we have a fantastic guest that's going to be joining us this evening because we want to get serious about success. Mr. Jack Zufelt, and I hope I am pronouncing that correctly, and I'm sure he'll let me know when he comes on the line here, is an expert in the area about how to get out of your rut, how to get unstuck, and I know lots of you are stuck. So we're going to go ahead and bring our guest on the line. Hello, Jack. Are you there?
I am here. Hi, Kathy.
How are you doing this evening?
Well, it's still afternoon for me.
Well,
I'm doing great.
It is still afternoon for you, and I'm doing great as well. So, Jack, just tell our readers a little bit. I'm sorry, our readers. I was just talking about my new book. But readers, listeners, we all want is life improvement. It's all about that. But tell our listeners a little bit more about you and what you do.
Well, I am a success expert. And in fact, I wrote a book that's now a bestseller. It's in 15 languages called The DNA of Success.
Ooh,
I speak all around the world on that subject because people still want to be more successful than they are. And some of them aren't successful at all. And or they're young and they're trying to figure out how to become successful. And so I bring to the table my life's experience about what I did to be extremely successful in business, in my family, in the speaking career, in helping others, and making money. And I did it without a college education. I never went to past high school. I did it without any self-esteem when I started out, and I certainly didn't have any money. And I did it without doing what everybody else out there tells you you're supposed to do, meaning goal setting, affirmations, visualizations, walking on hot coals and breaking bricks and boards and finding the inner child. All of those things I did not do. And yet I went on to be successful. And people, when they find out that that's what happened, they want to know what my secret to success is. And when I first started being asked about that, I didn't know what my secret was. I didn't know it was a secret. I just did it. And when I started looking at what it was quite simple. And people have made it so complicated. And so they stay stuck in their way of thinking or the way the world has trained them to think. And until somebody changes the way they see things, their paradigm, they're not going to get different results. In fact, my friend Stephen Covey, who wrote a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People,
right.
The guy that's a really popular book, as you know. He says in that book, if you want to make small incremental improvements, change your behavior. But if you want to make quantum leaps in improvement, which means giant, quantum's huge, it's also fast, instantaneous. He says if you want to make quantum leaps in improvement, which everybody says they want to do, he says change your paradigm, the way you see things. That's what a paradigm is. And so when I came on the scene 25 years ago and started telling people my way of doing business and doing success and being successful, it was a change of paradigm because I didn't do it with goal setting. Although when I first started, Kathy, I did it what everybody else did. I didn't care what the gurus told me to do. As long as it was legal and moral and ethical, mm-hmm. I was going to do it. And I worked my butt off setting goals and doing daily affirmations, thousands a day. And I failed and failed and failed and failed. And finally I said, there's something either wrong with me or I don't have what it takes. Maybe I'm not supposed to be successful. And I gave myself all those negative labels. And then I threw all that stuff out and went ahead and become successful, highly successful, when I quit trying to do everything those success gurus out there have been teaching longer than I've been alive, which is why my book and audio program...
Go ahead.
That's why they became so popular. In fact, Nightingale Conant featured it on the cover of their magazine, been in Success Magazine, been on over 2,000 radio and television talk shows, because my subject is so unique and so different and yet super simple. And, Kathy, you're going to love this. This is what people have been doing for success since the beginning of time. Until the 1940s, there was no success movement. Nobody taught goal setting, and there weren't any motivational speakers. There wasn't anybody doing any of those things. No seminars on anything. Like the Gold Rush from the East Coast to California, there weren't any books or seminars on gold rushing. And there weren't any books on building pyramids either. How far back do you want to go?
And I love what you're saying, Jack, because and that's why I love to have a lot of different perspectives about success, because there is no one size fits all. And I absolutely love what you're saying. I love what you're saying, that, you know, everyone thinks that there is just this mold that you have to pattern and fit yourself into, and you can't fit a square peg into a round hole. And I like that you're saying that it's in your DNA, and everyone's DNA is unique.
Well, actually, I'm not saying the DNA like that. The DNA of success is like the building blocks of life is our DNA. Well, the building blocks of success are only two things. And the DNA of success is, first and foremost, you got to want it with all your heart. On a scale from 1 to 100, it has to be 100.
That's
if it's 50 on the scale, it's half-hearted. That doesn't cut it in anything.
Right.
If it's 95% there, you'll get 95% of the way almost there, and then something will come up that'll be a problem. You might fail. You might not succeed at what you thought you was going to succeed at, so you quit. It only works if it's at 100. That's what makes somebody a gold medalist in the Olympics. That's what makes somebody a good husband, a good parent, or a money earner.
Well, let's just start there, because you're absolutely correct. And a lot of people talk a great talk and they say they wanted 150%, but they're not walking their talk. So let's talk to those people, because they're totally in denial, and they're obviously in denial and they don't even realize it. So let's help them realize that they're in denial.
Well, they may or may not be. Most of them are in denial, but guess what? I found a group of people out there, and it's a pretty large group, that do know what they want, and it is 100, but the second part of the thing that I did and I've discovered and I teach around the world has to be implemented, and they don't have a clue about it. So it's like they're stuck, and somebody has the ability to get them out, but they have no idea who that somebody is, so they can't even ask them for help.
Good point.
If you do not know how to be a black belt in karate, it doesn't matter how bad you want it.
So you could spin your wheels around and around and around, reading a bunch of books, taking a lot of training classes, and because you think that's what you're supposed to be doing, and you still don't get anywhere.
That is correct.
Wow.
And so that's got to stop. That's how come people get stuck. And you started out with your introduction today about being in ruts. Well, the difference between a rut and a grave is two ends. A grave has one end on each, something on each end. A rut is created by doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over, going down the same path over and over, and you get a rut. The only way you can stop making yourself go deeper into that rut or to get out of it is to pick another path. That's like, duh, you've heard the phrase, everybody knows it. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results, that's called insanity.
Right.
You can't do that, so something has to change. So there are two kinds of people out there, those who know exactly what they want and those who do not. And guess which group is bigger?
Do you think the people, 97% of people know what they want?
No, they do not know. That's
a
big group.
Okay.
3% do, and they go make it happen. Like the day I decided I wanted to be a professional speaker, instead of doing venture capital, which is what I did, I raised and invested $23 million into all kinds of businesses. And throughout that experience, I got asked to do speaking. I really liked helping people, and it plugged into something in my heart that I didn't even know was there. And I said, I want to do this forever. I just enjoy being on stage. I enjoy being valuable and important. And sometimes my self-esteem was leading me because, or lack of it, because when you get applause, you know, it feels really good. And I found out that helping other people is the ultimate joy on this earth. Well, I said, I'd like to do this and make money doing it. So I started doing, and that, the day that I decided to make a business of it, I studied the world of speaking just like I did any other business venture before I put a dollar into it. And remember, I put $23 million into all kinds of businesses, coal mines, real estate, high-tech computer games, 15 or 14 franchises. I owned a gold mining operation in Colombia, South America. I've done lots of businesses, but before I'd put a dime into it, I did what is called due diligence. I studied it out. So I studied out the speaking industry, and I went from zero income to millions as a speaker when others are still struggling trying to figure out how to spell speaking industry.
Well, Jack, let me just ask you this question. You talked about, you know, some other ventures that you tried. One of the things that I'm coming across in a lot of my clients, that they're trying to chase money. So talk to that fact and you know, how, you know, it can be difficult when you're chasing money because it may not really truly be your passion. And just like you discovered that I really, really like this, and to find a way to get paid for it, that's the ultimate fulfillment. So talk about, you know, how you can get out of that rut of just trying to follow and chase money.
Well, it's so simple when people, and everybody, I think, when I talk to them about it, they can figure out that I'm right on, and you probably do the same thing. It isn't the money in and of itself, because having $500,000 or even $10,000 sitting there on your desk, it's nothing. It's just paper until and unless it can give you something else that you want, like a car, like out of debt, like freedom, like leave your job. I mean, there's all kinds of things that money gives us, and it's not the money itself. Well, what was driving me wasn't the money, but what the two things that money would give me. And the first one was total and complete freedom. I do not like being told what to do by a boss.
Right.
You know, come in at 9 and leave at 5 or else, and, you know, all the things that a boss has control over your life in. I hated that. I've not been good at being told what to do ever in my life. Caused me all kinds of grief in high school. So the first thing I wanted was freedom of being, not having to have a J-O-B, and I could come and go as I wanted. And the second thing I wanted money for was the ability to provide a lifestyle that I wanted. In other words, to come and go as I wanted without having to plan vacations around relatives, you know, or so I can stay at their house, or worrying about taking the kids out to McDonald's, or should I take them to Red Robin? Because, you know, that kind of thing that money, extra money, can give you. And it's still, that still boiled down to freedom. And then I found another thing, because that was a subtitle of freedom, that I found something else. The more money I had, the more people I could help.
Right.
And I don't just mean charitable giving, although that can be a part of it. I do that a lot, but it isn't what I'm talking about. I have been able to help people in ways I'm not going to share with you because it's personal stuff, but when you have money in your pocket,
yeah,
and somebody doesn't have the money to pay their light bill, or they don't have the money to pay for what you name, fill in the blanks, as basic as food, and you have the ability to do that, it's so joyous. And now I'm a Christian, so I want to be like a guy named Jesus Christ, and I want to be like him, which he said, We're supposed to have an eye single to his glory, which is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. That means help out his brother, our brothers and sisters.
Right. Absolutely. Well, let's just talk about your plan and your structure, and just, you know, I know we don't have a lot of time to go into it, and, you know, because I do want to make sure I get your contact information, your website address and all that, so that our listeners can go and get deeper into it. But just give us a light overview of what is your formula and how do you get started?
I'll do that, but let me tell you a story to help make the point first. It'll get
okay.
Help people get really clear on what the biggest problem that I solve with DNA of Success. The biggest problem is 97% of the people out there cannot accurately identify, on a scale from 1 to 100, their hundreds. Accurately is the operative word. They say, I want this. They say, I want that. But their actions show otherwise. So what I did is found out a way to measure that. And let me give you an example. There was a professor at the University of Utah who asked me what it would take to be a black belt in karate. He asked me that because I was a black belt, and I am a black belt, and I was teaching his 14-year-old son. So while he was there picking him up one day, he just casually asked me that question. He said, it's been a goal of mine for 14 or 15 years to be a black belt, so what's it take? Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. A goal for 15 years, and he hadn't even bothered to learn what it takes. That's not a real goal. That's more like New Year's resolutions are made to be what? Broken. Because we're not resolute about them. He wasn't resolute about being a black belt. So I told him this. Well, it's going to take you about 4.5 years of your life and about an hour of practice every day. Well, his eyes got big and his mouth dropped open like in shock. And then he said these words. Wow, I had no idea. I guess I don't want to be a black belt that bad. Well, then take it off your list.
Yeah.
And 80% of the people, I mean, the things that people have on their list fall in that category. 80%. My research around the world, I don't care if I'm in Taiwan, Hong Kong, Canada, U.S., Australia, doesn't matter. 80% of people's goals fall in that category. They don't want it badly enough. 20% or 2 in 10, they do want badly enough, and they do get them. So I figured out how to identify what was there for those two that they did get that was not there for the eight they did not get,
mm-hmm.
And that's the DNA of success. And I'm going to tell you what that is in this call. I got to talk kind of fast because I know you only have about 12 minutes left. But here's the other flip side of that coin. A 14-year-old boy who was a big barrel-chested 6'4" kid, not fat but big, said to me, Mr. Zufeld, I want to be a black belt in karate just like you. What's it going to take? And he asked me the same question that the professor did. Mark was physically challenged. He had a disability. And I knew it. I'd seen him. You know, I had seen him in action. When he was born with his feet turned out left and right, and he walked like a penguin. He could not run. He could hardly walk. And at the age of 9, they went in and they cut the femur of both legs, turned his feet forward, put him in a body cast for, I think it was 10 months. His muscles atrophied. So when he got out of that, he had to learn how to walk all over again. And the bottom line to that was he was totally uncoordinated. He would lift either foot to kick, a super simple front kick, and he would fall to his hands and knees. Every time he tried to kick, he would fall down. This is not black belt material. So I said to Mark, well, Mark, it's going to take you about 5.5 years of your life, not 4.5 like I told the professor, and it's going to take a couple of hours of practice, not one like I told the professor, but a couple of hours of practice every day. His response was very different from the professor's. He said, is that all? When can I start?
Wow.
Well, I started teaching him. Now, jump ahead 5 years. Mark was the state champion, state of Utah, in karate.
Wow.
He overcame some serious challenges to make that happen. The professor didn't have any of those challenges. He was brilliant. He was coordinated. He was 45 years old. He was in the prime of his life. He could have done it. What's the difference between Mark and the professor? Well, the professor didn't want it as bad as Mark did.
Mm-hmm.
Mark wanted it with all his heart. So on a scale from 1 to 100, the professor was like a 3 because he hadn't even bothered to find out what it looked like. And Mark's was 100. I'll give you one more example that's even more graphic than that. I can demonstrate this on stage. I'm the only speaker on the planet that can actually teach a principle, this principle, and say, would you like to see it in action? I can demonstrate it. So I'll get volunteers. A woman came to the stage, and I asked her two questions. One is, what would you like to have that you're not getting right now? The next question I call the drill question, to drill down to the truth, to the core desire. So her first answer was financial independence. I said, that's not 100. She said, yes, it is. How in the heck could you know me? You don't even know me. I do want financial independence. I said, well, you're in your head right now. Let's go to your heart. If you had financial independence, so I drilled down to the next question. If you had financial independence, what would that give you? Another instant answer. Oh, I'd travel. I just love to travel. On a scale from 1 to 100, that was not 100. She said, Mr. Zufa, you don't know me. I love to travel. I said, I don't have to know you to know that that's not 100. It's high, but it's not 100. If you could travel, what would that give you that you're not currently experiencing, that you don't have right now? This time she didn't answer quickly. She looked up and up like at the ceiling for about 15 seconds, which if you're speaking on stage and there's silence for 15 seconds, that's a huge length of time.
Right.
And finally she said quietly into the microphone, peace. I turned to the audience. I said, you see the difference between that response and the others? And we could all see it. One had emotion to it and the other one did not. So I said, now, if somebody says they want peace, that implies they don't have it. So I asked the drill question again. If you had peace, what would that give you that you don't have? This time, she went into her heart instead of her head and looked at the floor for another 10 or 15 seconds of silence. When she looked up, she was crying, tears running down her cheeks, and she said, I'd be getting along with my husband. I then asked her this question, what if I could show you how to get along with your husband? She said, I'd do anything. I'd give anything. But we've been fighting for 5 years. I think we're going to get a divorce. We don't have a chance of a snowball in hell. It's not going to happen. We've tried everything. I said, no, ma'am, you haven't tried everything. She said, we have. We've paid lots of money to psychologists, therapists. Nothing works. I said, you have not tried everything. How do you know that? Well, you haven't tried me. I know for a fact you haven't used me and how I go at it. She said, oh, true. What's your suggestion? I then asked her what kind of husband he was. Was he a drug? Was he an addict? Was he abusive? No, no, no. He's a good guy. And we just butt heads. Like two control issue people, two control freaks. So I said, you go home right now and you tell him this and then come back within the next 2 or 3 hours and I'll show you a miracle. She said, he'll just get mad. I said, well, you got a choice to make, don't you? You either stay where you are, stuck, or you do what I tell you to do. And
right.
Try it. The worst that can happen is you stay stuck, and I failed. She said, okay. She rolls her eyes, heads out the door. This was an all-day seminar. 3 hours later, she comes back. I see her walk in the room, bring her right up to the stage. This was after lunch, by the way, so we had plenty of time. She had plenty of time. I said, so what happened? She said, it's a miracle. I told him what you said to say, and he didn't get mad. In fact, he started to cry, and he said, me too. And he just held me. They hadn't touched for like 3 years, not held hands, not made love, nothing. And he just held me for about an hour, and we just cried together. We want more. Now it was a core desire. Now jump ahead 6 months. I'm talking to her following up. And I've got stories like this all over the world, thousands of them. That's why the DNA of Success was so popular. So I checked in with her, say, hey, how you doing? She said, I've never been so happy. How's your finances? Oh, nothing's changed much there, but we're just fine. How about travel? She says, I love to travel, but I'm not going anywhere without my husband. Do you have the peace you were looking for? She said, I didn't know I could have this much peace.
Wow.
So are you happy?
Just really quickly, what were some of the methods that you use? What are, and I mean, without going into great detail, because we only have about 6 minutes left. 6 minutes left, because I want people to go to your website. So, what were just, you know, real quick, the quick version of what were some of the methods you used to get to her to that point?
I want the people to go to my website and get my free DVD of an hour and a half video, seminar that I did in Cancun, and they will get everything on stage. They've got 4 or 5 people I do this with on stage, and they will be able to see it there, and it's a free DVD. My book and CDs are available there too, but at least get the free DVD. It's at DNAofSuccess.com, DNAofSuccess.com. And the bottom line to your question is
DNA of Success, and that's all spelled out?
Yes.
Okay, great.
www.dnaofsuccess.com.
All right.
So
I'm putting this in the chat room. And for those of you who are just joining us in the chat room, I want to make sure you either re-listen back to the archive of this show, because it has been amazing and the information. So go to the website and then also please go back and listen to what you didn't hear Jack say. Okay, go ahead.
All right, the answer to your question is simply this. I have devised a methodology of helping people pay attention to their emotional responses. Whatever their answer is, they can learn to pay attention. Like if somebody were to call right this minute and say, hey, Jack, you want to go bowling? I can measure that on a scale from 1 to 100, and I love bowling. And I'd say, no, on a scale from 1 to 100, right now it's a 50 because I'm on a talk show, and I can't, and I've got something to do after that, so I can't right now or even this evening. I instantly could measure. Even though I love bowling, this is not a good time. So on a scale from 1 to 100, it's a 50. If somebody calls and asks me to go to a movie in the middle of the day with a bunch of kids in the theater, I'll say on a scale from 1 to 100, that's a 1. I don't do anything but hundreds. But if somebody says, your daughter's in the hospital, she was in a car accident, can you get there? I don't care what I'm doing, including on this call. I would drop everything and be at the hospital.
Awesome.
On a scale from 1 to 100, if you can do a life that's only hundreds or be in the process of getting them, you will be one of the happiest people on this earth. Now, there's two ways to do it. Identify what you want and then find somebody who is a mentor who has done it, like black belt, great relationship with their wife or their husband, great parent, moneymaker, and copy them. Let them teach you.
But you have to be 100.
Has to be 100. Otherwise, the teacher's information will go in one ear and out the other, and that's why people have so many self-help books at home, because they collect dust. After a while, they don't use what's in them. Have you read the book Think and Grow Rich? I ask audience all around the world. 50-60% of the audience
say
yes.
Napoleon Hill, the great Napoleon, yes.
And they say yes, they've read it. So I say, keep your hands up if you're rich. All hands go down. Well, geez, you either stupid or the book's wrong. Well, we know you're not stupid, so the book must be wrong. Well, I know for a fact that book is not wrong. So what's missing? They did not want to apply what was in it. So I learned a long time ago it's not the teacher that matters, it's the student. If the student's not hungry, it doesn't matter how good the teacher is. I had a lot of students tell me they wanted to be black belts, and they paid money to learn how to be black belt. They dropped out after about 6 months or a year. It was too hard.
Wow.
And others did go on to be black belts because they meant it, as did I.
Love it.
Same with the speaking industry. You're a professional speaker. It's the same in that industry. If you want to be a professional speaker, you got to learn how to be, not just do speaking. You got to be a professional business person, marketing yourself properly. Everybody has the ability to learn. Everybody has that. So what do you want to learn? I'm going to quote a guy named Robert Collier. He said, the first principle of success is desire. If you care enough for a result, you will most certainly get it. Now flip the coin over and hear what Rudyard Kipling said. He's the guy that wrote Gunga Din. Yes. He's a Nobel Prize winner. He said, if you do not get what you want, it is a sign that you did not seriously want it.
Right, right, right. And we're coming up on the last 60 seconds of the show. And, Jack, you have just been an amazing, just full of great information. And I have to have you back on the show because we have – and I'm so sorry to the tons of callers who are in queue, and I know you wanted to try to get on and get an answer, or I'm sorry, get a question of Jack, but we're going to have him come back on the show, and you have just been amazing. And we appreciate you and all your knowledge and your – I just love the fact that you have a different approach, and I love everything that you said. So I'm going to end the show, and we will see you back next week. And I want to end with this quote because I love Zig Ziglar. He's one of my absolute favorite speakers of all times. And he says that you have to be, and it aligns so well with everything you said, Jack. You have to be before you can do, and you have to do before you can have. And that's the bottom line of everything that we're going to sum up with this show. So please, please do what it takes. Get yourself at 100, the 100 number. That's where you want to be. Visit Jack's website, dnaofsuccess.com. Contact me if you need more information for Jack. Jack, thank you so much. We're going to sign off for now, and we will see you same time next week here on the Living by Design show. Good night, everyone.